And we think that both the government itself and industry has a role to play in creating those kinds of savings. So for Secretary Gates and the things that he's talking about, those are generally in the Pentagon's purview for making decisions about how they want to manage their department. But we support the idea that he's making those kinds of savings, and we intend to do our part in making suggestions on how we can participate in that.
And one of the suggestions that you've made has to do with acquisition policies. And tell us a little bit about this idea.
Well, what we were asked, along with all of industry, to look at ways to create cost savings that still will allow a fair return on the investment that industry is making, but kind of change the cost curve for DOD. And we initially began that by looking at almost 100 different ideas that we talked with our companies about. And then we went back and we sorted those ideas into two batches, a batch that were what we called tactical, or things that DOD could do immediately within their power. At least those are the kinds of things we were looking for. And we have 10 of those ideas that we submitted to DOD. And we're also looking at something more strategic, things that will take a little while to do, will involve Congress in making sure they get implemented, but we really think have an ability to impact the way DOD does business and can save money.
And particularly around contracting, I know one of the recommendations you broadly make was for DOD to reexamine how it does some of these particularly large contracts, missile systems and planes and stuff like that.
Right. Well, of course, aerospace industries is composed of manufacturers of things like airplanes and things that deal with aviation and space. And so those are the things that we're focused on.
Right.
And the kinds of suggestions that we've made are suggestions that we think could reduce the cost of compliance with the regulations that DOD has.
And particularly looking at multi-year funding for these multi-year contracts rather than short-term. Is that correct?
That is one of our suggestions. There are really two big suggestions that we have. Multi-year procurement is one of them. And the idea would be, if we can buy over a number of years, we can save in lots of different ways, and it's been proven that we can save in lots of ways. We can save in terms of orders, buying, you know, economic lots of things, parts and components. We can save in terms of the number of negotiations that we have to do.
Right.
We can save in all those ways. The other thing that we've talked about is, particularly as you're buying the fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth year of a contract, you can do price analysis on the things that we've bought. We've already bought a number of these kinds of airplanes. We know what they cost. Instead of having all the cost and pricing data that's required, all the audits that go along with that, you can do price analysis to say, does this price look like it's fair and equitable?
Hmm. And one of the other parts of this recommendation is the increased use of performance and outcome-based product support contracts. What does that mean, and how does DOD actually implement that?
Well, a lot of those contracts are around things like performance-based logistics, where DOD would ask for a certain level of operational availability for systems, and it'd be up to the contractor to supply that level of operational availability. One of the things that we found as we've used these kinds of contracts is it gives an incentive to industry to reduce costs, because the more that they can reduce the costs, the better off industry is, and therefore the costs come down over time as DOD reaps the benefits of those costs. And it also gives DOD the opportunity, because they're dealing with contracts, to say, we no longer need to support this particular aircraft, we're not going to do this anymore, as opposed to having government employees who will be on the payroll until they retire or leave to go someplace else, and they have to be supported.
And at least with those two areas, some significant savings, multi-year procurement savings can exceed 10%, at least that's what GAO has said.
In a number of cases, that's true. And there are a number of cases where they're less than 10%, but still large numbers. If you're buying systems that are worth billions of dollars, even a 7% savings is a lot of money.
Do you hope that we've seen a number of contracts that have just gone on and on and on, the tanker contract just being the biggest one out there, but that all costs a lot of money.
It does. And so some of the things that we're talking about in our paper on ways to save money in the contracting process is to find ways to do fewer negotiations. The fewer negotiations you do, the better off you are. Now, some of that is dependent on having an acquisition workforce that's well-trained and has some experience. And we in AIA, along with a number of other industry associations and companies, have supported a well-trained workforce in the federal government because we think it's in our interest to have that kind of workforce that we're working with.
Yeah, and that way you don't have to go back and correct things after the fact. If it's done well, if you have good procurement folks, then it starts off well and helps your folks as well as the government.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're coming up with a whole bunch of adding to this list, right? This is only the first part of that?
Well, we, like I said earlier, we had a list of a much larger number of things. We wanted to give DOD some things that we thought they could do immediately within their own areas of responsibility. We recognize things like multi-year procurement are going to require Congress to approve them, but DOD can still put the packages forward as part of their appropriation process.
And Congress often been a little bit reluctant to do that because of this, you know, you spend money in the fiscal year and otherwise you're obligating to beyond your term of Congress, and that's always been a little bit of a bugaboo here.
It has, but Congress has approved multi-years in the past, and in an era where we're trying to get savings, this is a really good way to get savings, particularly for things that we know we're going to buy. If you're going to buy the new tanker, for example, you're going to buy more than one lot of those tankers. And so a multi-year, once you've stabilized the requirements and done the other things that are required by law, it makes sense to buy them in a multi-year way rather than year by year by year, which increases the costs both in terms of the things that we have to buy from suppliers and also in the negotiations and bid and proposal costs and those kinds of things.
So why haven't we done this before?
Well, it goes back to what you had suggested. When you use a multi-year procurement, you're tying up dollars and that leaves less flexibility. And that's true. And I would not suggest that we do 100% of the DOD investment budget is a multi-year. But we can certainly do more than one or two a year and reap those savings.
And what kind of things are we talking about these more strategic ideas?
Well, some of the things that we're talking about are stabilizing, having a requirements process that stabilizes requirements. How do you get to something that's stable, that industry could plan for in the long term so we know where to invest our independent research and development dollars, for example?
But often the impression of a lot of folks in DOD is that they have a very robust process for figuring out requirements, and those requirements are often, almost some would argue, too slow to change.
Well, they're slow to develop, that's for certain. I don't know that they're slow to change.
Hmm.
But part of the you don't want to get too mature on a lot of the technologies. Technological advantage is one of the things that gives us ability on the battlefield that our enemies don't. But on the other hand, if you get too far out and you keep changing the requirements, it's very difficult for industry to tool up. It's very difficult for industry to build. It's difficult for us to know where to invest money and what areas of capability that DOD wants to go in. So I think there's some things that we can do in that area. Another area that we're looking at is consolidated services. One of the problems that we see is we have three or four or five different agencies. They have slightly different requirements. And so when they come to one of our companies and say, well, from my particular agency, Navy, for example, we want you to do it this way, and the Air Force comes and says, well, we want you to do something similar but a little differently, that doesn't allow us to have efficiencies because we have to do it two different ways. And so there are some ways that we can consolidate contracting. There's some ways that we can consolidate some of the audit and oversight processes, we think, that would provide benefits. One of the ways we're going forward with this more strategic look is to talk with some of the people that have been in DOD in senior positions and get their ideas about not just these broad bumper stickers, stabilized requirements or whatever, but some really good, efficient, concrete things that we could recommend, and that'll be in the next set of initiatives that we provide DOD.
And a lot of these things we've heard about for a long time in terms of all the services using similar processes for procurement and all these, and yet they don't often seem to happen. Do you get a sense that this initiative from Secretary Gates will spur folks to look at this a little bit, pay more attention to actually implementing some of these ideas?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And you're right. We've been talking about these things to people that deal with DOD for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think there's a real sense of need now to identify ways to be able to provide more warfighting capability for DOD within the kind of top lines that we have today, because the budget's not going to continue to grow. I don't know that in some of the peace dividend discussions in the years before that we were still fighting wars at the same time we were trying to do some of these savings. But we're in that position now. And so hopefully that will give some impetus to what Secretary Gates is talking about. And he's led by example in a lot of ways. He's looked at his own house and in terms of OSD and the defense agencies and done some of the things he's asking the services to do. And I think that's a good way to lead, is by example.
This is a little bit of a softball question, but is industry willing to make the changes that would be necessary to make this happen as well?
Well, we already have demonstrated that. If you look at Northrop, for example, they've been looking at the shipyards and looking at the number of ships that are going to be built and have already announced the fact that they want to make some consolidation there to save money. If you look at Lockheed, they've done some things to save money that they can apply to the systems that they're producing. So I think industry is already going down that path. I think there's an ability to go down further if we can change the environment and we can continue to make savings in those areas.